Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never...
Scale of 1 to 10, your thoughts of the format.
A 0. Sucks.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Apparently Oscar Robinson responded. Did you see that? Said, who cares what Draymond Green has to say?
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How about this? The four nations for the NBA. Team USA, Team Europe. Canada, France, the rest of Europe. That means Luka and Jokic can play with on the same team.
Earlier on the show, senior NFL insider for The Athletic, Diana Rossini, SiriusXM NBA radio host Frank Isola. Coming up, actor Clancy Brown. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here in the middle of February. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I have no idea why I said the month of February that way moments ago. I'm just having fun. I also got awakened at 2:55 in the morning by an alarm clock that hasn't been touched by my daughter on her bedside table, and it just went off. And when I say went off, like, I literally thought there was some sort of an air raid happening in my neighborhood. But at any rate, enough about me. Clancy Brown is going to be joining us in studio. He's been here before. He's got a CW show, Good Cop, Bad Cop. The series premiere is tonight at 9 Eastern time. And he was just in The Penguin. So great. Season 1 of The Penguin. I can't wait to see more of it. He is in that. You need to see that if you have not seen it. He's also, as you know, in one of our favorite movies of all time, The Shawshank Redemption. So clearly we're going to have a lot to talk about with Clancy Brown when he comes out here. He's a Buckeye Stater, I believe, a Bengal fan. He'll be joining us in a matter of moments here on the program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take some phone calls as well. The salary cap in the NFL is going up and going up by a lot. Now, a lot of folks may wonder, what does that mean for you and your team? Guess what? If it was $255 million last year, and it was, and it can go maybe up to $281 million. Woo-hoo. Dollars this year. That means over the last 2 years, according to Dan Graziano of ESPN, $53 million the cap has gone up. And what that means is you can pay players more. And what that means is if you're going to start scrimping on a running back, you are a complete and total moron. I just said that about general managers. You know what I mean? Like, oh, so we can't pay you $15 million. We got to pay you $9 million when there's $6 million of $53 million over the last 2 years going up. No, let's not go ahead and pay a difference-making guy. Let's just go and draft one and hope he can be it. You're missing the boat. I should say that instead of a moron. That's just the way I feel about it. It's certainly Howie Roseman just showed you. You know, if they scrimped on a running back position, would they have won the Super Bowl this year? Perhaps not. Perhaps not. And what this also means is players who are looking for more coin heard the cha-ching. You know who's one of them? Micah Parsons retweeted it, LFG.
That's awesome.
Retweeted about the cap going up, LFG. He LFG'd a couple of posts. One was also Matt Eberflus, the new defensive coordinator, talked yesterday for the first time since arriving back in Dallas. He was the linebacker coach for seven seasons there underneath Jason Garrett. Eberflus, when he spoke to the media, called Micah a premier pass rusher. We're going to use him that way, certainly, and he's one heck of an athlete that can do a lot of different things for us on defense. He LFG'd that one, too.
Pay that man his money.
Exactly, Teddy. Exactly.
That's awesome.
And Eberflus had this to say about joining the Cowboys staff as Brian Schottenheimer's defensive coordinator.
As a former head coach, how do you help Brian, you know, as a first-year head coach?
Yeah, you know, again, the first couple of meetings I had with him, I said, I'm here for you. You know, I want to really just do a good job of bouncing ideas off of me, experiences that I had, and working together, you know, to be able to utilize me, because I do have the experience of being a head coach for him, and to make his job easier.
Two things here. Number one is it's good to see that Eberflus is not giving up his look of the hair and the beard just because he's no longer a head coach. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because normally, you know, go for an HC to an assistant. No, you can let yourself go.
Not when you have a glow up like he has.
I mean, he's glowing up, and two is, I know people have their fun and say, you know, what's Eberflus going to bring from his head coaching experience in Chicago to Brian Schottenheimer?
A lot.
Damn straight. Let me tell you, man, he is an excellent defensive coach in the National Football League. You got yourself a winner there. I think the Cowboys defense is definitely not the problem here. The problem is what's going to happen on the offensive side of the ball. Certainly, if you went ahead and didn't dip your toe in a much larger coaching pool with more of experience and a more expensive pool for coaches, because you want to keep the system for Dak and everybody else that Mike McCarthy brought in and that Brian Schottenheimer is going to continue. It's the offensive side of the ball. Who's coming, man? Who's going to protect Dak and who's running it? Rico Dowdle's a free agent. Who other than CeeDee Lamb can catch the ball? That's what we're talking about here, right?
Also, Rich and Chris, you know, we laughed a lot about Brian Schottenheimer getting hired, right? But if you look back, think all the coaches recently that at their introductory press conferences, we all kind of rolled our eyes at. Nick Sirianni, what's he done? Been to two Super Bowls. Dan Campbell, pew, 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 Cannon. You know, all these guys, people looked at and went, what's going on? And they've all been pretty decent, especially Sirianni and Campbell. So that's why I'm willing to give Schottenheimer the benefit of the doubt.
There you go. You also have no choice but to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, what else am I going to do?
Well, actually, you do have a choice.
It's my last year, you know, unless I see
something. You don't have a choice. Oh. By the way, Jason Fowler did this in your absence, Mike. He provided me with this wonderful folder inside his he made of his excellent cardstock as well. He made the a certificate a release of fandom presented to T.J. Jefferson and his own. He even made his own gold seal of because, you know, Jay is also, amongst many things, an actual notary.
Yes.
Yep.
And you have not signed this.
Yeah. No, I got one over here. I told you. I'm going to let this year play out.
What do you mean you have one over there?
Play out.
He made one of the certificates for you?
He made a couple copies, yes.
Where's my Dodgers?
Same card stock, too?
It's good stuff, man.
I mean, listen to this.
Oh, yeah. That's not cheap.
Clayton Adams, you know who he is?
Clayton Bigsby?
No, it actually sounds like one of Clancy Brown's roles, right?
Yeah, right.
Clayton Adams. No, he's the name of your new offensive coordinator.
Hey. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's
the one who's going to be shaping Brian Schottenheimer's game plan with the HC.
Let's go, Clayton.
An offensive lineman by trade and offensive line coach by trade had this to say about what the Cowboys' offense, as I said, this is what it's about. Hmm. How will this offense look?
The same thing that I want from every player on offense, and that is to create violence in the game, be aggressive, run, hit. I think that every decision that we make schematically needs to lean that direction. So if there's gray area, what is going to keep the, what is going to allow these guys to play more free and run and hit and be violent?
There you go. Remove the gray so you could be more violent.
I like that.
You do? So I should put this folder back in the...
I'd say, you know, keep it close, but know that
okay.
You have at least 12 months before.
Okay. Third place? NFC East, third place?
Yes.
Will they catch the Washington Commanders this year?
No.
Will they catch the Philadelphia Eagles this year?
No chance.
Okay.
We shall see.
We shall see.
That's why they play the games.
You know what, TJ? Let's take you off the griddle. Thanks. Let's talk about what's going on in Chris Brockman's baseball house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys don't want to play their position. This is already a bad
start. I mean, listen. Vlad Guerrero, you think, you know, because he's pissed in Toronto right now.
Yeah, he's not happy.
His self-imposed deadline to get a new deal with Toronto came and went without a deal. So, yeah. You know, I think he would look great in pinstripes in the Bronx. That's what I think. The first base position is going to be open. You know. Goldschmidt's just a one-year deal.
It's not going to happen,
right? I don't know. I mean, he's just sitting right there. You know, you big player in the Bronx. That would be helpful. He won't go to the Red Sox. I know that because you know why?
Why is that?
He doesn't play third base. And that's the only people that the Red Sox are collecting right now are third basemen. And unless, you know, the Gold Glove winner at third base last year, and Alex Bregman plays second.
That's the plan.
Well, I mean, unless the kid that they... What's the name of your...
Christian Campbell.
Christian Campbell.
Yep.
Who they used, they drafted using a compensatory pick they got in letting Xander Bogaerts walk, which is an interesting way to, you know, to keep replenishing. Let's get our great players. Let's have them walk to Southern California because we won't pay them. And we'll draft replacements to play a position that we might have to put the Gold Glove winner at third base at in Alex Bregman because Rafael Devers in his Iron Glove only insists on playing one position. And in a press conference, looked like a very upset individual that even being talked about because he's the one they actually paid.
Paid him.
They actually did.
Paid him. 10 years. $313 million.
Alex Bregman spoke about this subject matter and had this to say.
No, I'm super excited to just be his teammate. He's a great player. I think everybody in this clubhouse is worried about winning and whatever it takes to help the team win. That's all I'm focused on, and I'll play wherever AC tells me to play.
Oh God, we're in so much trouble. It's been like one day and I'm already panicked. I rewatched all of this yesterday and this morning. Oh God, Bregman looks high from being at 40,000 feet with the high road that he just took right there. Jeez, what is happening? And they're trying to fat shame Devers. They're like, "Dude, he checked in at 240 pounds yesterday. What are we doing?"
Oh no, that's fine to do it. DeSoto.
Well, hold on a minute. I'm reading the latest report here. By the way, AC, he's referring to his
Alex Cora. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was Anderson Cooper for a second.
I thought it was Al Collins.
Well, AC. No, definitely not Al Collins.
You know who I am.
I don't know. Although this whole third base situation does remind one of a slow speed chase.
Jeez.
Right now.
Stop.
Is that wrong?
Too soon.
But hold on, man. I've got the report right here. Is that AC, Alex Cora.
Alex Cora, manager.
Had a bunch of players over to his rental house. It says it's a rental house.
Well, they're in Florida.
For dinner on Monday night. So apparently Bregman and Devers, during the gathering at the house, were talking for 45 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
About whose base it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess Devers is like the baseball version of Ryan Day because he figures it's his birthright, third base.
Hey, now.
Thank you.
I don't know why you brought.
Why not?
Sure.
And in the Abbott and Costello, who's on third, right? Right? Isn't that what it is?
No, who's on first?
Who's on first? What's on second?
I don't know who's on third. I don't know. Third base.
Maybe they're doing the routine.
That would be a long con that I didn't see coming.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Maybe they're doing the routine. I don't know. Who's playing third base? I don't know.
Third base.
Because that's the way it is. But no, everyone apparently had a good time at the dinner. And Cora added to the opinion that all is well with the infielders. This is the report from ESPN News Services. Added to the opinion that all is well with the infielders after watching Devers receive constructive feedback from Bregman during glove work on the practice field Monday.
So
he's taking constructive criticism.
Gold glove incoming.
and then they chatted at night. And this is the guy who says, my Yankees are going to be looking up at his team this
year. Well, we have more talent than you guys.
Okay.
We have too many good players. That's the problem.
Is that what it is?
We have too many good players. We have the best farm system in baseball.
At one position.
You know, we got a guy coming up. We got another guy waiting. We got to keep it warm. And then we got. And then we're going to sign Vladdy. And then, you know what I mean? We got too many good players. We got a six-man rotation. The pitching staff is too good.
I don't understand.
You know what I mean?
I don't understand what you're saying. So you're saying, on one hand, that the team has an excellent roster, more talented than the New York Yankees, the defending American League champions that have at the top of their rotation, Gerrit Cole and Max Fried. Gerrit Cole, who admittedly cannot get Rafael Devers out.
He can't. No,
and you know who also he can't get out? Alex Bregman. You've got two of the first variety A-grade Yankee killers on the Red Sox right now.
They just hit every at-bat against him?
Well, I mean, they don't play. You can't have two third basemen at once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is a problem. So
you're
saying,
on
one hand, you're saying the farm is amazing. It's a bumper crop. And the team has got so many good players. And on the other hand, you absolutely despise the ownership group at the same time.
I really do.
So it's kind of weird how
this happens. I'm in a tough spot. Yeah, I'm in a tough spot. I'm in a tough spot right now. I'm in a tough spot. And then there's rumors that they want to buy the Celtics, which would really put me in a tough spot.
That's right.
I don't like that at all.
I mean,
I really was hoping to run into Jeffrey Lurie while we were in New Orleans so we could have a chat about that. But
dude, I know why they want to buy the Celtics.
Uh-oh.
Because Jaylen Brown plays a mean third base, too. Let's get him at third. Who else can we get at third, TJ?
Yeah. Does Peyton Pritchard
play? Who else can show up?
Wade Boggs?
I don't know. Let's get Wade Boggs back.
He went to your team. We disowned him after the
last day rode horse.
After the horse riding.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Let's see who else.
Okay.
Oh, what about Euchelis? Didn't he play third?
I don't know. He played both.
That was my favorite part of the Rafael Devers press conference. Is he let his interpreter do all the talking
until
the question was asked about playing designated hitter, and he goes, nope.
No.
Oh, so you do understand the questions.
And then he had a look on his face like he had a mouthful of yellow Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. The entire time.
He did not look happy during any of
this
that.
This is great. Jeez. But the Yankees are going to look up at them.
Pablo
I got
Sandoval
it. Let me write all
open.
These things
he
down.
He can come back.
I need to remember all these takes.
That's a four-letter word.
The team is incredible. They're talented. They've got too many good players. The ownership group sucks. And
I don't think you can argue with any of that, honestly.
All right. Very good.
February 19th. We're good.
Where's Gary Gaetti at? When you need
Gary Gaetti?
That's our base. Get Gary. Mike Pagliarulo.
Pags,
everybody.
Old Carney Lansford.
Mike Lowe.
Carney Lansford has been called. I love it. Did Butch Hobson play third?
Great question.
Back in the day?
Felt like.
I don't know. Okay.
Butch Hobson's still alive.
But Nomar did.
Nomar played short.
Didn't he play third a couple of games?
Same birthday as us, TJ.
Oh, I know.
All right, let's take a break here. Let's get Clancy Brown out
Let's do it.
Let's get out. One of our favorite guests back in the day is back here. Good cop, bad cop. Speaking of which, that's Devers and Bregman,
oh,
right?
I hate
the Devers
so
and Bregman story on
Stop
CW.
It.
Are Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a five-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. I got a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I'll give you a moment. Time's up. If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. That's right. You can now buy a Hyundai on Amazon, the same place where you order yoga mats, a toothbrush, and pretty much everything else. All from the comfort of your home. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. I mean, picture this. You're in your PJs, snugged in on your couch. You pull up Amazon on your phone and start the process right there. Just locate a nearby dealer, pick your color, your options, check the price, and with a few dotting of some I's and crossing of some T's, voila! Your Hyundai is ready for pickup. It's that easy. Just remember to put some real clothes on before you head over, will you? Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability only through participating Hyundai dealers in select markets. Clancy Brown.
Yes.
There is no I in Clancy Brown. He's a team player here on the Roku Sports Channel at this point in time. 9 Eastern on the CW, airing tonight. Good Cop, Bad Cop. Check out that series premiere. It's great to have you back on
good.
The show.
It's good to be here.
And, you know, we'll talk more about your new show in a second, but I just have to, again, commend you and the cast of The Penguin. What a show.
It's a good show.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
When you first received the script for that, what'd you think when you first got that?
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that they were going where they were going, that it was as dark and as mean as it was, but it was also very realistic, I thought, like super hyper-realistic. And
right.
Kind of a neat little origin story for the Penguin, which I always associated with Burgess Meredith, you know, with the top hat and the thing waddling around.
Yeah, with the long extended cigarette holder. Right.
But then they put Colin Farrell, one of the best looking men in the world, in a ton of makeup and a fat suit, and turned him into one of the ugliest characters you ever want to see on TV.
And you're not wrong about the darkness of it. It just kept finding a new bottom, quite frankly, watching this show as well. And was Colin Farrell always in character because he was in that makeup all the time?
Well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he was. I mean, I never met him. I never met Colin Farrell. I always met this guy, Oz Cobb. But after a take, you would hear Colin's accent and voice come out of this character, this body. So he wasn't always in character.
Okay.
But he was always in the character. I mean, you know, he couldn't get out of that.
So you never saw him as himself?
Never saw him as himself until I was at the New York premiere. And then
whoa.
And went up to him to congratulate. I sort of had to hold him a little bit and feel him because he was so much smaller and not fat and like really handsome.
Right.
I mean, that's not why it happened, but you know, it was like, you know, but he was just such a, like, couldn't believe that that was the guy. I couldn't believe that Colin was the guy that was in that suit.
Well, neither can I just watching it. Cause you just forget it is him inside that suit because of how amazing he is. Yeah. And then the cast around him, you guys were just so great.
Yeah. Well, that's a good script. Like, good cop, bad cop. If it's a good script, it's easy to do. I mean, the script does all the work for you.
Right. I've got I spoiler alert. I wish your character had a better end in the Penguin as well.
He
did.
He did have a good end. Okay. He didn't let the Penguin get him.
That is true. That is true when you think about it run.
He didn't let Oz get him. He got himself.
That is true as well. You guys have to see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. On the list.
They
apologies.
Have not. No, but I whipped through it in a span of just a couple of flights, and then, like I told you, I watched the last two episodes on a big screen.
Yeah, dude,
you
it's have to. So dark. And the lady that wrote it, the team that wrote it, but the lady that led it is this little, tiny, beautiful young lady who looks like she's 15, and she just writes the sickest garbage. It's the worst characters on earth. They're horrible. They're horrible. They do terrible things to each other.
Do you like playing that, or what you're kind of playing right now in Good Cop, Bad Cop? I mean, which type of character do you like playing in your vast career?
I like the Czechs. If they want me to do that, I'll definitely do Salvatore Moroni in a DC thing and, let Colin Farrell toss me around. If I need to look like an out of it sextagenarian, which is what I am, in front of two really talented young actors, then I will do that as well.
But you don't have a preference or anything?
No, I mean, I kind of wanted to do Good Cop, Bad Cop. It was so different. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to turn the page on stuff.
Well, certainly if you're doing one role like the Penguin, you can now do something that's different. You kind of mix it up in that respect.
Yeah, I don't want to do that guy forever.
Well, again, you were great in Billions as well, playing the Attorney General. What was that experience like for you in Billions?
The creators of that I had met years and years ago.
Koppelman and Levine, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Levine and Koppelman. And we had talked about doing one of their movies that they were going to direct, and it didn't work out. And then they called me out of the blue, maybe, 15, 20 years later, and said, hey, we got this part for you. Want to do it? And they're terrific writers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're some of the best writers ever. And that's really the key to my success, is just working with great writers.
Right.
Because then, like I said, I don't have to make stuff up. I don't have to worry. This is very difficult for me.
What is difficult?
Talking to you and being myself on camera and making up stuff because I don't have a script in front of me to.
Even if I'm wearing, by the way, this is my fat suit.
Okay.
Yeah, that I'm wearing right now. Just I did this. I spent 3 hours in makeup today. No, but I mean, it is.
But you look like you.
Nah, you know what? I appreciate that. It's the makeup. Clancy Brown here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I want to bounce a theory about Shawshank off of you here.
Okay.
The theory is that the end of the film, the beautiful ending of the film, the film moment that gets your heart going, and it just is a wonderful, warm finish to this film. It is a fantasy. That it is a dream sequence that doesn't really exist. That it's just the moment where, where Red, was here. That's the moment where the movie ended, and that everything after that is just a dream. What are your thoughts on that subject?
I think you've been watching The Penguin.
Too much conspiracy theory?
Too much dark that things can't end in a fairy tale way.
So you think the movie ended in that manner?
Well, I know it did. I know it did. I know that's what happened. Yeah.
Because it is a beautiful ending, I guess. I don't know why.
Perfect.
You know, it was a perfect ending to the film.
Good.
You know,
well, there you go.
I know, and I should just leave it there. But that's what I was reading and I was hearing, that there was these moments that was too pat. It was too beautiful of an ending. You know,
as a reaction, or somebody saying they had some kind of inside knowledge it got rewritten.
That it didn't get rewritten. That was the general intent of it. That it was that, you know, either Andy never got to Zihuatanejo, and you know, Morgan Freeman's character never got out, and he never found the box, and he actually offed himself, you know, in the same spot.
That is dark.
It is dark, but you know, it's Stephen King, though, brother, right? At its very base,
you know. He also wrote The Body, you know, the Stand By Me story. I don't think they changed that one too much.
No,
but now I don't know. Now you've got me thinking.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Now you've got me thinking. I've got to read the short story.
When you see this photograph on the screen, what do you think when you see that classic?
I think that is a man who just got married.
Is that right?
That's right. I got married during that show. Yeah.
During the filming of Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. You got married. I almost didn't do it because I had my date, and it was during right in the middle of the filming, and we had to negotiate around that date, and so I threatened to throw Tim off the roof, and then hopped in a car with my sister and drove to Chicago and got married and came back.
Wow.
My sister, by the way,
yes.
I don't know why it is. Every time I come on the show, it's like one of my family's birthday.
Okay.
Last time it was my mom's. Today's my sister's birthday.
Hey.
Fantastic. Happy birthday, Kate.
Happy birthday to Kate.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the famous scene on the roof.
Yeah.
Okay, where the convicts
drink up ladies.
They're tarring the roof, right? Mm-hmm. And they're drinking beers and whatever, and you are up there making sure that their lives are as miserable as possible.
Right, right.
You threaten to throw Tim Robbins, Andy Dufresne off the roof.
Right.
But in real life, after that moment, you get in a car and you get married.
Right.
Then you come back and finish.
Then I come back and finish, yeah.
You're an excellent actor. Of course you are. You're an excellent actor.
I didn't tell my father-in-law that's what was going on.
I mean, I guess, what is your favorite line of yours that you delivered from that film, Clancy?
I can't say it on television.
Really?
No, I mean, it's pretty darn, it's pretty...
Well, I mean, can you clean it up at all?
Yeah, well, there's a few of them, but none of them are, I can't say it. You fat effing barrel of monkey dude. You know, I don't know, how do you say it?
Okay. Well, you said it with such brio in the film.
Yeah.
You know, you nailed it.
Well, it was fun. It's fun to say that. So. They actually wrote it, so I get to say it.
And you shot it in your home state, right?
Like, yeah, it was in Mansfield, Ohio. Yeah. Hmm. Mansfield, Ohio, Mansfield Reformatory. As a matter of fact, we just had a 30-year anniversary, and a bunch of us went back to that reformatory. It was going to be torn down, but a bunch of local architects, saved it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a monument or a park or whatever it is, and they have regular screenings of the show, and they have tours. They go through this horrible maximum security prison, and then where they really make their money, though, is they have a haunted house throughout October.
Uh-huh.
And they do heavy metal concerts in the yard. So that's
get out of here.
Yeah, that's where they make their real money.
So
go to Mansfield, Ohio. Go visit Mansfield. Go to the reformatory and have a good time. They'll lock you in the cell and do all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Where some horrible things happen. who was there in the 30th anniversary?
We had Bob Gunton and Bill Sadler, Frank Darabont, the writer-director.
Right.
Gil Bellows and Mark Ralston.
What was that like for you to go back there?
It was weird. I was I had brought my daughter. I told her that, you know, she didn't really have to go. It's just going to be a bunch of old actors talking about how great they were 30 years ago. And she said, no, I want to go. And And she came, you know, I came in the reformatory. I was like, oh, yeah, boy, I remember what it was like to be here. And she goes in the reformatory. She goes, I got to get out of here. This place, I got to get out of here before it gets dark, because this place is got some bad juju in it. And mm-hmm. it really does. It's a horrible, horrible wow. place. But they're turning it into a moneymaker.
Do you have any good Morgan Freeman stories from the shooting of
this film? Let's see. Morgan told me a story mm-hmm. about his agent. I think it was his agent, or it was one of the agents. Mm-hmm. His agents got a call saying, and you know, this is based on a short story called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. And Rita Hayworth was one of the posters.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
That covered up the excavation. And Morgan tells a story about how he got his agent, or his agent said this, got a call about how much, from another agent, about how much they loved the script and how wonderful it was. And that was no secret. It was a very popular script in Hollywood at the time. And boy, what a great movie it's going to be, and congratulations, Morgan, and all the rest of that. But I just want to put a little bug in your ear. Think about Julia Roberts for Rita Hayworth.
In the film?
Yeah, yeah. So clearly, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently there was lots of casting of Rita Hayworth going on. But there's no Rita Hayworth in the film. That's so right. That's the punchline.
They didn't read the script.
Oh,
see, it's like agents. It's an agent joke. So good was that script? I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is wild.
Yeah, I laughed, and Morgan just shook his head. That's so funny. That's my Morgan Freeman story.
Mike Del Tufo, our sound engineer.
I have a good question for you.
Go for it.
Well, by the way, it's got to be a good, now that you said
you
it's a good question.
Yeah,
question.
I got a good
question. Yeah, I'll try to have a good answer.
Okay.
Highlander, one of the greatest lines in that movie. I have something to say. It's better mm-hmm. to burn out than fade away. You make that up. You pull that.
That line has never been made up. That line, that's like.
I mean, it's a song. That's a Neil Young movie. Did you add it in yourself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was listening to either Neil Young or
I think
what's the other one? Def Leppard did a little thing with it, right?
Rock of Ages.
Yeah, right, on Rock of Ages.
Is that where you pulled? I love it. So that's actually a true story, because I heard that for years.
Yeah.
That you ad-libbed that, and I had to find out.
Yeah, I did ad-lib it.
But
I didn't really. I just stole it.
But you stole it, but you made it. They just kept shooting.
I restole it from Def Leppard, who stole it from Neil Young, who.
It's like fantastic. It's like one of the greatest, because you're in the church. It's amazing.
So what happens for those who might not be familiar? What's the story here? With
the story is there's a scene in a church, and my character. I don't even know. I don't remember what happens in the church. I meet up with the Highlander.
Yeah,
We have a little, we have a little talk, because we can't kill each other on sacred ground or something. And then as I leave, I put out all the votaries, all the candles that are there, and I say, I have something to say. It's better to burn out than fade away. And then I leave. I mean, it's that's the end of the story.
That's what it is.
But it's a button on the scene, and it was I just kind of made it up.
So that was not in the script. You just decided to have that in your head. And just
back when I used to be able to do that. Now I can't do it anymore.
Come on now, Clancy.
I love it.
Come on.
I can't do it anymore.
Don't say that. Good Cop, Bad Cop airs tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on the CW. And everyone should go check that out right here on the Roku channel portal as well, right?
Yep.
Look at us doing the same thing.
Nice.
Are you concerned about the Cincinnati Bengals?
No, not anymore. They just raised the salary cap. We're going to sign them all. That's great. That's great news.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're, this just in. Mike Brown's not known for taking that salary cap money and spending it all. Oh, Clancy, I don't,
what's he going to do with it?
I imagine you're not related to the Brown family, just a different Brown family of Ohio.
No, big fan of Paul, but, that's... No, I know. Mike Brown has a bad reputation.
I don't know why you would not sign Ja'Marr Chase last year when you know that there's this also that's coming down the pike.
But also maybe a good year not to sign him, because they didn't make it very far. They didn't recoup as much revenue as they could. They couldn't win the first, five games or whatever.
They started 0-3 and things got a little bit dicey, but Ja'Marr Chase still won the Triple Crown.
Of course. But now what a great, I'm on Ja'Marr Case's team, Jamar Chase's side.
Yes.
I'm on his team.
I'm sure you would
I'm
be.
I'm not on the management team.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But let's get him signed. Let's get them all signed.
We have room now.
But and having Joe Burrow as your quarterback has got to be like a dream come true to just watch him play, right?
And the first dream was Palmer's brother.
Yeah, Carson.
Right, that was the first dream.
Right.
And then he got hurt. So
correct.
When Burrow went down, I was like, oh, my God, this is not going to happen. But
now he's the comeback player of the year, and we'll see what they can do.
Science has progressed.
Right. And so you're a Reds fan as well?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Cincinnati guy all the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was your
and
guy?
And a Dodger fan. I mean, I live here. I mean, you know.
Who was your guy growing up, when you were growing up in Cincinnati? Who was your guy?
Tony Perez.
Tony Perez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big Tony Perez guy. Loved Bench, loved Rose, loved Lee May for the brief time that he was there. Joe Morgan, loved all those guys.
Sure.
But Tony Perez was my guy.
Yeah, the big red.
Third baseman, as a matter of fact.
When
I left.
Come on.
Did he play?
He could play for the Red Sox.
He could play for the Red Sox. And he would move to first.
That's right.
Wow. That's right. He would have moved to first and been an all-star there, too.
That's what we need, I guess.
That's what you need.
You know.
I like it.
All the best ball players are third basemen. They all start out at third. They can play anywhere.
Pete Rose played first base for the championship Philadelphia Phillies.
There you go.
I always remembered he would always, if he recorded the last out of an inning, he would take the baseball and he would spike it down on that on that turf, and it would bounce way up in the air. I just remember that. The Wheeze Kids, that's how they were known, because they were so, I think Joe Morgan was on that team too, right?
Yeah.
I think he was on the Philadelphia Phillies team too. Hey, this has been a pleasure having you back here. Come back anytime, Clancy Brown. Good to see you, man.
Talk about Australia next time. That's where we shot.
Where'd you shoot?
We shot it in Australia.
Good cop, bad cop?
Yeah, yeah.
Why Australia?
Because that's where the money is.
Wow.
And the check's clear, gentlemen. Okay, fantastic. Everybody, check out Good Cop, Bad Cop, airing tonight, 9 Eastern on the CW, streaming right here also on the Roku channel, as Clancy just said. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show to wrap things up in a moment. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
No one knows music like Rolling Stone. Senior writer Brian Hyatt talks the biggest music news from the biggest stars.
Almost everyone is teaming up on Drake. It's like Drake versus the world.
Yeah.
You first met Prince, you were driving for him before you were drumming for him.
That's correct.
Stevie Wonder!
You kind of have to understand how Stevie began.
White Radio. That's where the money was. That's where it still is. You know what I'm saying?
Rolling Stone Music Now. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Tell everybody, Jack, who your godfather is. Who's your godfather?
Ron Shelton, who is the writer of Bull Durham.
Baby.
The movie that made me exist. I'm here because of that film.
So why not have him as the godfather of your child?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Cosmic All-Star.
What is it like to have Ron Shelton as a godfather?
I mean, as I got older and realized all the movies he had written and directed, it really, I mean, as I did what he does,
right. It
really became more of a resource. We get lunch a lot now, and I really like the guy. He's amazing. He's
okay. Are you introduced him to Bull Durham? How was that introduced to you?
I went to audition for Ron. I did really well, and then the agent says, you did really well, but you got to go through. And so I went out and met Kevin and pitched through the ball around with him.
So, okay.
So Ron wanted to make sure that, you know, people could throw.
Yeah.
And I played third base, never had pitched before. So I had to learn all those mechanics. And then on top of that, I wanted to do a kind of Fernando Valenzuela thing, you know, rolling the eyes and looking back. You know,
breathe through the right eyelids.
Right.
Which Ron was like, yeah.
Because you got to breathe through your eyelids.
Yeah, you got to.
Pretty much. So the catch that you had to conduct in order to get the gig was with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Where? Do you remember?
Out at Warner Brothers Studios out in the Valley. And out
just
right
on
out,
the lot?
Outside, like outside a bungalow. Yeah, outside a bungalow there. Yeah.
So people are driving their golf carts around you while you're trying to have a catch with Kevin Costner?
Yeah, and, you know, and I was like, okay, no, don't break any windows.
That's right. Because you are Nuke LaLoosh. You're supposed to throw it in any direction right there.
You know, he was written as a lefty.
Right.
And Ron decided that, you know, he wanted me, so he turned into a right-hander. Oh,
that kind of ruined the movie, though. If only he was a lefty, that would have really taken it to the next level.
Be careful what you wish for, because you might not exist.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, you boil it all down.
Yeah.
Pretty
I mean,
much.
I'm glad you got the part. I'm glad you memorized your lines that day.
Yeah.
Thanks, ouch. Thanks. Wow. That was that was a Nuke LaLoosh fastball high and tight right there.
Yeah.
I know.
Yep.
Pretty much.
No. Rushback pitch.
Do you have a question for this man? Like, that's your movie, man.
Yeah,
like,
I guess for me, you know, the lines of Bull Durham. Do you have a favorite line that you remember?
Rose goes in the front, big guy. And I still have those, you know, garter belt.
Do you have the, where's the garter belt?
It's in storage somewhere. I'm going to bring it out for a big auction someday.
Would you do, I mean we'll help you. We'll help you auction that
thing
out.
I have my jersey too, still.
You get your jersey?
And one of my jerseys is in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
That is so damn cool, man.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Cooperstown, what a dream. That was awesome.
Tim Robbins, third baseman. He could play for the Red Sox, too. We're just keeping on the same bit. We'll just keep pounding that bit into the ground. By the way.
Nick Asaski?
Nick Asaski. Good one. I like it. That interview with Tim and his son was our last in-person interview before the world shut down due to COVID.
Yeah, Tim Robbins fist bumped us.
I remember all that. That was crazy. Is that when you had him sign the Shawshank movie poster that you just had Clancy Brown add to the movie poster autographed by Morgan Freeman? This is pretty cool,
it's
man.
It's a really good item.
Man, we keep on adding.
I'm extremely jealous of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's right here. There you go. The movie poster signed by three stars of the movie now. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Grainger.
Graham in Lexington, Kentucky. What's up, Graham?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Graham?
I heard you mention Clayton Bigsby as the... new coach for the Cowboys. I heard he's also a great third base player back in the youth leagues.
Well done, Graham. Graham in Lexington has been hanging on a while, and he's additive. You're officially additive to this program, Graham.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Yes.
I just wanted to comment on the whole, like, why is John Elway not getting the respect he deserves?
Mm-hmm.
As a 11-year-old who fell in love with football because of Brett Favre, you know, winning against the Patriots. I loathed Denver that first, you know, Super Bowl victory that Elway got with his back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, OG Elway, rookie, you know, four Super Bowls in the 80s Elway, but I know how great he was, just based on that recency bias with his victories, you know, in the late 90s. So, and plus we had like Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson winning Super Bowls there with the turn of the millennia. I just think how we view quarterbacks now is different than how they were viewed previously, and that's why Joe Montana seemed like the permanent, you know, greatest of all time.
I'm with you. Thanks for the call, Graham. Graham in Lexington, Kentucky. Additive indeed. Just one last thing here for a fresh reminder. The two Super Bowls that the Denver Broncos won back-to-back, that still, by the way, haven't gotten Mike Shanahan in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
No, it is not.
Which is kind of crazy that the committee says, let's go with Mike Holmgren, and then the voters say, no thanks.
Also, everyone talks about the McVay tree. It's really the Mike Shanahan tree.
Right, correct. Yes. Okay. And so those back-to-back Super Bowls still haven't gotten Mike Shanahan in. It got Terrell Davis in.
Yeah.
I will just say this. Those back-to-back Super Bowls were not necessary for Elway to make the Hall of Fame. He was getting in the Hall of Fame.
Anyway,
I agree.
Without it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Helps.
Yes, but please get out of here with that nonsense. Hyundai, everybody. You can get it on Amazon right now. The it is a Hyundai. That's what I'm saying. You want to buy a Hyundai? Why wouldn't you? Go to Amazon and buy it. And the neat thing is you know, obviously, this isn't going to send you to your house. You just go, you go to a dealer for that sort of thing. You can pick up your Hyundai at the dealer after buying it on Amazon. Go to visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up through a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. Let's finish up this show by slagging on the Lakers and Dodgers.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Why would we ever talk about them?
No, I'm a Dodgers fan now.
Why aren't you a Dodgers fan? Go Dodgers.
You know what?
This guy don't even
Let's also
Dodgers.
Slag on Den of Thieves. Who's going to stop us from doing that? Let's just slag on him. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. We are out of time.
Stop this right now, bro.
We're out of time.
This man suddenly doesn't go anywhere without a Dodger hat. I saw you on Edelman with a Dodger hat. Like, what are we doing?
Wait a minute. Dodger hat, Den of Thieves. How come we don't get Den of Thieves 2 Pantera
That's
swag?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you want some? I'll make Lionsgate do whatever, bro. They owe me. They owe me, dog.
Shay, you know what I want? I want the Den of Thieves 3 gear because, you know.
Bro, you want a spot.
That's true.
Yeah. I want to be at Benihana in the Den of Thieves 3.
What is it?
The Benihana scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he loves that.
Jean-Jacques.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, what you guys talk about today?
Oh, just, you know, how the Dodgers are just ruining baseball.
I know. It's great.
And the Lakers.
Great team. I love them.
And the Lakers fleeced the Mavericks, and they got lucky again.
Whoa.
Fleeced
is crazy. Yeah. Anthony Davis will do wonders in Dallas.
When he's healthy, you mean?
I don't watch the Mavericks.
When are we going to find out that, like, Jerry Buss made some, like, under-the-table deal with David Stern that now Adam Silver has to abide by?
You see this?
Like, what,
you
like, see, what are we
what,
doing?
What he's angry about, Rich, is that
Hold
there's
a second.
Never...
We're out of time right now, but we're coming back on the Roku channel to finish this up.
See you, folks.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast Network is your home, get it? For real estate investing.
I am very tired of people saying that your primary residence is not an investment.
Get real talk from real estate pros about investing strategies that work.
I bought a house for $1 and it makes me $1 million.
You can become a real estate millionaire over the course of like 5 or 6 years.
No one needs a stock. No one needs cryptocurrency. They need a house.
Bigger Pockets. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.